In the name of God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit. Today we have two parables in which Jesus references the kingdom of God. I find that patriarchal language difficult, despite understanding the context in which this gospel was written for the community of St. Mark. So in place of using the word kingdom, I will use the words reign of God or divine rule. In the two parables we read today, Jesus indicates that divine rule is all about grace first and then goodness. And I believe that God is inviting us right now to understand how we are blessed by grace and thus enabled to go out and do good in our world. As Jesus talks today about the coming of the reign of God, he makes it quite clear that this is all about how God's presence among us can affect and shape our lives if we would really hear this call to follow Jesus as disciples. Discipleship has a threefold pattern in which we are first called and summoned, then we follow, and then we are sent to preach, teach, and heal. In the first parable, Jesus tells us that divine rule is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. I say that one way to interpret this tale is to think of God as that someone who would scatter seed, and then think of grace as what makes the seed sprout and grow. Grace is always God's gift, and it is always dispensed on God's timeline. It is always God's enterprise. What we know is that the reign of God was initiated in the person of Jesus at a specific time and in a particular place, and then entrusted to our care with the sending of the Spirit at Pentecost. So this parable is all about the grace God bestows on us that enables us to continue the work that Jesus has given us to do. As noted on page 858 in the Catechism found in the Book of Common Prayer, grace is God's favor toward us, unearned and undeserved. By grace, God forgives our sins, enlightens our minds, stirs our hearts, and strengthens our wills. Again, there's a threefold progression in responding to the grace that we receive through the gift of God in Christ. First, there is hearing, then accepting, and then bearing fruit. In the second parable from today's gospel, Jesus tells us that the reign of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs. Now, the mustard plant that Jesus is probably talking about here is generally considered to be black mustard, a large annual plant that grows up to 9 feet tall from an infinitesimally small seed. According to rabbinical sources, Jews did not grow the plant in gardens. Pliny the Elder, in his Natural History, written in about the year 78, writes that mustard is extremely beneficial for the health. It grows entirely wild, though it is improved by being transplanted. But on the other hand, when it has once been sown, it is scarcely possible to get the place free of it, as the seed, when it falls, germinates at once. In this parable, Jesus is presenting us with a story about large growth from small beginnings. He wants us to understand that the growth of the reign of God starts from small beginnings and ends up becoming a worldwide phenomenon. We're probably not so familiar with the black mustard plant, but we have other invasive plant species that we can think of here. As a person who really enjoys hiking, I am most familiar with the bush honeysuckle, which originated in Eastern Asia. They were introduced into the Midwest region in the late 1800s for landscaping purposes. Climate change is increasing the spread of bush honeysuckle, which grows so well that it shades out native species. There has been a major increase in the population of bush honeysuckle over the past 25 years. This plant consists of thick green leaves that leaf out early in the spring and vibrant red berries that attract many different birds and small mammals. But they provide little to no nutritional value. Instead, these berries, which are consumed by birds and small mammals, then have their seeds dispersed into the surrounding areas. Fragrant white flowers appear on the bush and become yellowish as the plant matures, which attracts pollinators. These characteristics greatly contribute to the spread and resistance of honeysuckle. Here is where I think we come into this particular story. You see, as the disciples of Jesus, we are called on to greatly contribute to the spread and resistance of the reign of God. We are called to participate in the hastening of the coming of divine rule by our own good works, which serve to build up the community and help it become more and more resistant to evil. We live in a world that is steeped in trouble. Every day we are faced with systemic racism, gun violence, partisan politics, greed, corruption, devastating climate change, and this list can go on and on. However, in the face of all of that, I urge us not to become discouraged, but to recognize that absolutely every intentional act of loving kindness that we engage in actually does push back against and mitigate evil. Just like the seeds of the black mustard plant or bush honeysuckle keep spreading and germinating, so too do our acts of loving kindness. They work to make and remake the vision of God for us possible in the world that God has created and loves beyond measure. That is part of what we celebrate each week when we gather together for the Eucharist. In the text, Baptism, Eucharist, and Ministry, we read, "The Eucharist opens up the vision of the divine rule, which has been promised as the final renewal of creation. And it is a foretaste of it. Signs of this renewal are present in the world wherever the grace of God is manifest and human beings work for justice, love, and peace. The Eucharist is the feast at which the Church gives thanks to God for these signs and joyfully celebrates and anticipates the coming of the reign of God. We are called to be part of God's dream for the world in which we all live and serve. We must be good to others because of how good God has been to us. We must be generous with others because of how generous God is with us. Today, my friends, I pray that we can each be a blessing to one another and the wider world because we have been so richly blessed by God. And just as God is love, let us be about the business of bringing that love into the world." To close, I want to quote from the very last page of Bishop Michael Perry's book, Love is the Way. He writes, "When God, who is love, becomes our spiritual center of gravity and love our moral compass, we live differently, regardless of what the world around us does. The world changes for the better one life at a time. So don't give up on love. Listen to it. Trust it. Give into it. Obey it. Love can help and heal when nothing else can. Love can lift up and liberate when nothing else will. May God love you and bless you, and may God hold us all in those almighty hands of love. Amen."